And I believe we're in a battle. Without taking time to read all of the places, I think anyone that's probably read the Bible would acknowledge that there is a lot of thought in it about battles, yes. Our battle, war, the weapons of our warfare, fight a good fight. That kind of language is in there. We are in a battle, and we have an opponent, and he's skilled. I read one time, I think it was a Chinese general said, that the greatest act of generalship was to conquer your enemy without a battle. And he meant that there is ways to manipulate and work and influence your enemy until there's no fight left in them. And that's what the devil would like to do with every one of us. He'd like to use the material around us and get our minds off of what it should be on and get it to looking at the circumstances that's generally bigger than we are and get us to looking at our inadequacies, which are many, get us to look at our failures and our problems and get our minds off of what we should be looking at and get us to a place that we're discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Imagine everybody that's been in this thing for very long has fought the idea of being discouraged. Have you ever had days that's went totally wrong? How about weeks of days that's went totally wrong? And the devil can come in and get us to dwelling on, looking at those kind of things and discourage us. I like history, read a lot of history, especially history of World War II. I thought was fascinating, very fascinating. And I noticed some things about those battles. One of the things of that the Germans did, they were good at it. I mean, before the World War broke out, they were very active at propaganda. They were very active at flexing themselves and showing themselves strong. They worked with the people. They got them into a place. Many of the things that they conquered early on before the World War II actually broke out, they conquered countries without shooting firing a shot. They was able to come in and manipulate them and get them. Some of them were just afraid of them, to be honest with you. They were afraid to do anything. They was afraid to step out and do it. And I think one of the worst places that we can get into is get into a place that we're afraid. When we get to the place that we're fearful, we will give in. We'll give in much ground to the enemy just because we're afraid to face up to it, to really come and conquer it. And so, Lord, help us tonight. And want to think about this and the idea of discouragement, depression, darkness. That is the ground that the devil wants to fight on. Devil don't want to fight in the noonday sun. He wants to fight in the middle of the night. He wants to. You ever feel different? Notice the feelings of difference of a battle in the middle of the day and a battle in the middle of the night. Oh, I've longed for the daylight a lot of long nights. There's just something different about it. There's some place there it seems like the devil can attack our minds in a way he can't in the sunshine. But we're in a battle. And we need to learn the secret of the battle. And the secret is, and we'll get on to it, but the secret is, the battle's not mine. Because I recognize tonight, I'm not big enough. I'm not able enough. I'm not capable enough to run my life, run the affairs of my life. I'm not able to keep myself thinking the way I should be thinking. I need something more than I've got. to inspire my life above the darkness, above the problems, above the failures, above the things. Do you know we can get our minds, our eyes off of what we should and look at this present day world, and we can look and see how far we've come as a nation and how far we've went from the principles and ideas of God and those kind of, and do you know we can get discouraged with all that? That's what the devil wants us to do. But if we do that, we're forgetting something. God ain't moved. God's still on His throne. Jesus still rules it all. When we get to looking around, we can look like it looks like chaos. It looks like there's no hope. It looks like there's nothing else to be done. It looks like all these things can bombard our minds, both in a larger sense or a general sense, I may say, but it can also do it in a personal sense in my life. And what I need to do is refocus. This whole thing is not about how well this country does. It isn't about how the world's going. This whole thing comes down to the plan of salvation in my life. I believe in Jesus tonight. And I believe that He is the captain of our salvation. And I believe that He can give us victory in the face of any problem. I believe that He can keep us encouraged to that. But if our focus is on how well this country is going to do, you're going to be discouraged. If it's going to be how well you do financially, you might be discouraged. If it's going to be hooked on the natural thing, you may be discouraged. But if you put your heart and your mind and your trust in the Lord, I want to tell you, you can be encouraged because He'll never fail you. The devil has a lot of different traps, different ways he wants to demoralize you. He likes to come and say, at the failures of others, but I had such confidence in them. What are we going to do? He likes to demoralize with those kind of things. He likes to bring failures. The devil would like nothing more than have failure and failure and failure among the ministry because it carries a little more weight. To say, look and look and look, and we see these, and look at all this. It's so discouraging. I want to look at a scripture over in 2 Kings. This is the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. And you remember the story. I won't read all the story, but remember this story that the Assyrian empire was great, and they were at that time becoming greater and an influence in the world, and they began to conquer those that are around them. And they had conquered many, and they come up, and now it's time for them. Now they come up, and they're going to take Judah. They're going to take Hezekiah. So they send Hezekiah a letter. I think I'm going to look at it in the 10th verse. It says, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. You know, we would like everybody to say things the way we want them to say it, to encourage us. I remember, I don't even know who it was. It was the first time I ever went to Monarch. I remember being in the men's bathroom at Monarch, and there was a brother in there, and he had something on his face, a place on his face. And I remember another brother comes in and looks at him and says, well, what is that on your face? Well, the old brother says, well, you know, I suppose it's an old cancer on my face. And the other brother said, well, that'll kill you. I remember thinking, oh, my, that sounded so... I mean, that was the first time I ever went to Monarch. I was like, oh, that seems so dark. It sounded so dreary. It sounded so hopeless and depressing and discouraging to me. Oh, my thought. I mean, he could at least add it, well, if it is, you'll get to go to heaven. I mean, it might be the way. Well, I mean, there's ways of encouraging beyond this natural life, but that seems so gloomy. And I thought, you know, devil's mean. I wish everybody would say it right. But he even said God, thy God. It's even got capital letters here in my Bible, thy God. Don't let your God deceive you. Don't let your God going to deceive you. God's going to go around telling you how things are and what the promises are and what you can have and all that. You know, old devil will come and say that to us too. You believe in that? Are you believing all this stuff? You believe that this really is the way it is? You believe you really have to do that? You know what? I'm human. I've lived this. I don't even give much to peer pressure. What people say never bothered me before I was saved much. But you know, after a while, you can hear things and it will bother you. I'll go away thinking, what if something happened in me? Something, I don't feel right about something. What was it? And then I remember a conversation that was had, and people were saying, all them old people dressing like that and doing that. And you just brush it off after a while. But the devil is trying to discourage you to think that everybody out there looks at you strangely, when they probably don't look at you at all. Many people don't notice you or care anything. But the devil wants to discourage you tonight. He wants to discourage you and say that what you're doing is ridiculous. There's nothing good in it. No value in it. And there's nothing to it. And there's no reason to do it. And it'll get, oh no, what is all this? And people are looking at me. Do you know that I found out in my life, folks, if you're interested in living for the Lord and witnessing for the Lord, I'm going to tell you what I've learned in my life. The ones that's willing to say something are the ones that's usually closest to the kingdom. And they usually don't say something positive. We like to say things like, well, I'm going to witness for the Lord and ask somebody to come to church tonight. So I'll go into a big crowd at Monarch and I'll look around and I'll keep looking around until I find somebody that looks just like me. Just like us. To go and ask to come to church because that's the one that's most likely to be right there. No, he's not. Many times the one that comes up and says something, I've seen it in my life, that's wanting to say something, do something, is because they're getting closest to the kingdom. Remember, God's in order of this thing. People say things. They don't even know what they're saying many times. That might be the one that's closest. But the devil's trying to discourage us. There's nobody left to be saved, right? I'll never run into anybody that I can say anything to that'll be saved. It's so discouraging. Nobody else is going to be saved. Just us. We're going to have to end this thing out without anybody else being saved. That's not right. That's not the way to look at it. But the devil wants to make us think that we haven't got anything to say to anybody wants to hear. That's not true. There's a lot of people still out there that needs help. There's a lot of people out there that can be encouraged. There's a lot of people out there that's got heartaches and trouble. Under the Holy Ghost, they can still be touched and helped. The old devil's trying to discourage us right out of our job. Right out of what we're supposed to be doing. He said to Sennacherib sends this and going to tell him, this is what you say to him. Now, this had to be discouraging. Say to Hezekiah, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nation delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? That's a question. Comes to him with a question. You know the devil's lying when he tells the truth. He is. He's using it in the wrong way. And he'll come. You know this was the truth. The Assyrian army had conquered these lands. And none of their gods that they called upon was able to deliver them from the Assyrian army. And so he's just coming in with a fact. Hezekiah, I'm going to come in with a fact. We've been conquering these, utterly destroying them. Now what we want from you is just give up. Because if you don't, you're going to be utterly destroyed. So which is better, giving up or being utterly destroyed? And don't be faked out by what you think God can do. Because God can't do anything for you. Nobody else's could, and neither can yours. So we've been praying for this brother and praying for him and praying for him, and he didn't get better and he died. And I know of another one that we prayed for and we thought they'd get better, but they didn't and they died. So there's no reason for me to think that I won't get better. You know, we're so used to praying. I'll be honest with you. We're so used. I'm shocked when God doesn't do something. I'm so used to Him doing something. God, it seems like He always helps us and does things for us. But that's not the way the devil brings it to me. The devil brings it to me as is, well, this is a failure, and I'll show you all the other failures that went before you. And you get to thinking of all those things and imagine, did anybody else in here ever imagine anything in the middle of the night? You ever imagine something's worse than it is? That was a cough. Well, that must be something serious. My children's got a rash. That must be something serious. Nope, just a rash. Nope, that was just a cough. The Lord always helps us through it, but the devil don't say that. You know, we can get our minds off one of those things and run ourselves ragged. Believing those kind of things. So here's the rest of this. He says in the 14th verse, he says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art God, even Thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down Thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech you, save thou us out of this of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Oh, you know, that's inspiring to me. Because he faced something so monumental. He faced something so absolutely huge in his life. I wonder if a pit didn't come in his stomach when he read the letter. I wonder what it must have felt like. I've been in those kind of places before. Have you ever been in a place till here comes something that was so big that you knew you couldn't handle it? It's bigger than you. If it comes the way it's coming, it's bigger than I am, and there's nothing I'm going to be able to do about it. And this would come to him. He knew he couldn't get an army to fight the Assyrian army. He knew they was bigger than he was. He knew they was greater. He couldn't make leagues with other nations. He couldn't go out and get an army and draw them up. So now what are you going to do when you're facing something this big? What he should have done to start with. Folks, what we should do anyway. Great and small, what we should do anyway. We should give it to God. Because it's our victory. It's our victory. We can have victory through all of this. That's the key to the victory. God is our victory tonight. We can be so discouraged and get so run down, but that's not, if we got our eyes there, folks, we're losing a battle. That's not where our eyes should be. Our eyes should be on the one that don't lose battles. The one that allows things like this happen. Do you not suppose that God saw the Assyrian army rising up? Well, I suppose he did. I suppose that every member of that army was given life by God. I suppose, because it's always been that way. I suppose that God allowed this event to happen in history at that time to serve a purpose, as he allows all events in time and history to happen for a purpose. And so all the times and things that are happening in our land today must be of a purpose too. God knows about all these things. God knows about the rise of ISIS. God knows about the rise of terrorism. God knows about the rise of that. What's our part and place in it? What's our part and place in the United States of America, 2015? What are we supposed to be? What is our purpose in this? Is it possible that there can still be a remnant of people that need to be saved? And our duty is simply for the salvation of souls. There's been worse times in history than we're in.
maybe not worldwide, but they're in. You can read of all kinds of bad things that happened. When Jesus came into the world, the old ancient Roman Empire was a terrible moral place. It was awful in what they did. But God's still God. I say we take our problems to the Lord. Learn. Lord, help us to learn, to see what the time is and what we should be doing in it. There'll never be a time that God's people isn't fitted for where they're at. They're fitted for what they're doing. They've got what it takes to have victory in that situation. Paul had his time and had victory. Peter had his time and had victory. And so hasn't the saints down through the ages had their times and their victories. Brother Sammons had his time and his victory. But Brother Sammons isn't here anymore. His time is gone, and now it's my time to come in. It's our time to come in. Lord, help us not to be discouraged, but to look up to God and say, what is it that you want us to do, Lord? Here in this time, with you on our side, we can't fail. We can't fail in our day. Lord, help us to be the shining light that we're supposed to be in the time we're supposed to be in. There is a battle, and we won't get out of the battle. We'll fight the battle all the way through. There's a battle to face. I want to learn how to fight the battle. Lord, equip us for our battle. Give us the faith we need to fight our battles. Give us the vision. I think our vision's dim sometimes. We look at circumstances and we never put it in the concept of God. We don't have a vision of what it might be. When the bad things happen, God knows how to turn bad things into eternally good things. But we never see them sometimes because we kind of open our eyes up far enough to see what God's really doing because of the discouragement and despair and the fear that we have of stepping through that and being able to reach out and do what we need to do. You know, it cost people a lot in times past. They knew that. They knew that it was going to cost them. You think when Paul stood up there and preached like he did, when he said what he did to Felix and what he said he did to Agrippa, when he said, you know, he knew that that would cost him. When he said what he did to the Roman authority, he knew it was going to cost him. But he stepped up because his day was there. He didn't step up with fear, but he stepped up with God with him. There's the salvation of souls involved in this. Many souls came through all of that because he stepped up into his day, into his time. Sennacherib faced something that was Sennacherib attacked and Hezekiah faced it. And he took it to the one that was able to turn the tides. Do you know that Hezekiah never lifted a finger against Sennacherib? You can read it. He didn't fight him. He took the letter and laid it before the Lord. And said, Lord, thy will be done. Look and see and listen and hear, Lord, and see what is facing us and do what your eternal will is about it. I'm bringing it to you. I have no way to do anything about this. I can't stop the flow of wickedness in this world, but I can take it to God. I can't change a man's heart, but I can take it to God. I can't defend against all that we... But I can take it to God. And God can do those things. You know, they got in a fight amongst themselves. And I think Sennacherib ended up being assassinated. And the whole army was scared. And Hezekiah didn't do anything. But take it to the Lord. What a victory. I was facing something that was... I don't say that it was anywhere compared to a thing. But it was something that I was facing. And I didn't know what to do with it or what to do about it. I didn't even know what right was about it. But I knew who did. So I simply just gave it to God. Lord, you work in it. You know, the Lord has worked wonderfully in it. And I keep looking and saying, I never had to touch it. I didn't speak anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And God was able to work that out. Thank the Lord. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, I see. Let's look at this one in 1 Kings. 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Oh, I see. I want to hit about the 14th verse, too. I'll go back to a little way, back to 11 maybe. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and have slain the prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. What are you doing here? I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm going to tell you. It can be one of the worst places you can ever get into is when you start wallowing in self-pity. It is a terrible place to get into. You will focus that on yourself to the point of destroying yourself in your self-pity. Oh, Elijah says, I've been jealous for the Lord, and I'm here. What are you doing here? Well, I'm hiding. Elijah, what just happened? I know. Do you know that yesterday's victory has nothing to do with tomorrow's? You know, I've been through victories, and the Lord has touched and helped us and brought us out, and then something happened, and the old devil comes and says, he won't do it this time. And, no, we're going to do it this time. And here comes the Lord. What are you doing here? Do you not forget who I am? I brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea on dry land, and I destroyed the Egyptians when they followed after. Do you know not who I'm, the God that turned the sun backwards? I'm the God that has been working in your life. Elijah, I just sent fire down to heaven at your prayers. I've been with you, Elijah. What are you doing? Well, I feel alone. I'm the only one left. You ever feel alone? You can feel alone in a crowd. You can feel odd and out of place. You can feel out of joint. Do you know you got a place to look to when you feel that way? Now, that's the devil, folks. I'm going to tell you right now. God loves you and the saints love you. And when you get to feeling contrary to wise, it's the devil telling you that. It isn't true. It isn't true, but we can all feel those kind of things, can't we? Can't we feel like sometimes we're not very important and people don't notice us and they ain't caring about us? And the devil can bring those feelings to our lives. And Elijah must have been feeling something there. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. Discouraged. Does that sound like he's up? He's hiding in a cave, folks. He's fearful. He's hiding in there. This is a great prophet that had God work mightily through him, and he's fearful, and he's in there, and he's all alone. Oh, devil will get us in some places sometimes. God don't want us going running to the cave. If you've got a cave you pray in, you go pray. But then you're going to come back out of there and face the world. Face the things. You're not alone. God didn't leave him alone here, and he just don't know it, and we don't know it, and you don't know how many prayers is behind your back. You don't know how many prayers is people's praying for you. Saints is praying for you, and God's with you. Oh, devil's telling a lie to you. Don't be discouraged. You got a battle, but you're not alone in it. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest in the right place. Oh, I wanted to see, there was a place there where he told him that there was 7,000 that hadn't been. Oh, I'm up to 18. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. See, there was a bunch of people, 7,000 of them left there, he said. Got a bunch of them there. I got an army waiting here. You just don't see it. you lift your eyes up and look to God. Because see, there's a God that can take care of these false prophets. There's a God that knows what He's doing with all this. Lord, help us to be encouraged. Now, there's another tactic that the devil likes to use. And I won't turn over there, but you can if you want. It's over in the first chapter of Job. But there's a tactic the devil likes to do to us. And the military calls it shock and awe. That's what it's called in military terms. It's been used a lot. And what it does is that they get an overwhelming force. And it can be absolutely demoralizing to be in the middle of it. And what they do is, the United States has done it on a number of times. They've done it through different wars. But what they do is, and they've done it in the Iraq War, actually, in the first Gulf War. They did it, and they lined up a great arsenal of bombs and cruise missiles and weaponry of all kind. And then, instead of just dropping a few in strategic places, they come in and just pulverize the place, and just endlessly pulverizing it to demoralize. What great force there is against us. The devil likes to do that. He likes to come in with a force, something that if you would weather a little at a time. Well, I got bad news today. But just bad news. And by the time, and that wears off, and a few days later, well, I've handled that pretty well. And then, or weeks later, and then I got some. No. He wants to hit you all at once. One big hit. That's what he did to Job. When the devil was given the right to attack Job, he did it with shock and awe. He took everything that he could in one time. And you notice when the messengers got there, before the one quit speaking, the other was there. And before that one quit speaking, another one walks in. And another one quits me. Well, what's this one? And what's this one? And now I got two in a row. Now here's some more. Look, there's another one. No. And here's more bad news and more bad news. It's like there's no hope for you. It's all, everything you have is falling in. You know, I've seen people's lives do that. I've seen things in people's lives doing that. There's a story of Julius Caesar. He was a great Roman emperor and military man, and he wanted to flex his muscles, and there was some enemy, the Goths or something, was approaching his borders and around, and so he decides he's going to flex his muscles, and they ain't afraid of him. And so he gathers up 50,000 Roman soldiers, and he starts on a march, and he marches, and they're watching him, and they're not impressed. And he goes on marching. He comes up to this great river, one of them over there, I don't remember what it was, but he comes to the river, and they're watching him from the other bank, and there's a lot more of them than he's got with them over here. And they ain't impressed with it much, and he comes marching up there, and he gets to the river, and they're on the other side saying, "Ha, we're on the other side of this big, deep, fast-flowing river, and what do you think you're going to do over on that side? And when you get over here, you'll find out something, because we have four times as many guys over here as you got over there. So just see what you're doing." So Caesar got his men together, got up to the bank of the river, and they started cutting trees, and they started driving them in. They was great engineers among them, and they started building the bridge. In about 7 days, they spanned that big, wide, deep, fast-flowing river with a bridge. And when they got to the other side of that, there wasn't nobody over there. They said, "What kind of a thing is this? We ain't never heard of it or seen anything like that. That they can do something like that? We ain't going to face these guys." He went over there. He marched around 2 or 3 weeks to show his strength and come back across. And when he crossed back the bridge, they pulled off the columns and pulled the bridge off the way they went. And away they went. But they went to show them over there that we're strong enough and able enough to come and get you anytime we want to. They acted different. You know, the devil likes to come in sometimes and flex his muscles and say, "Look what I'm doing. You don't believe I got power? You look at what I got this world doing. I got it by the tail. Everything's corrupting. Entertainment's so corrupt. Billboards are so corrupt. They've infiltrated every aspect of human life. And what are you going to do about it?" I got it by the tail. Well, he did it to Job. Shock and awe. Do you know what Job had? Job still had his integrity, and he had a vision. I believe God had a relation. I believe Job had a relationship with God that went beyond that, those kind of things. Because he, at the end of it, after he lost it all, he still didn't charge God foolishly. He still, naked I come into the world, Naked I'll leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's still God no matter what I've got. Didn't come with anything. Not leaving with anything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't come with anything. Ain't taking anything with me. Got a life to live here. No matter what happens or the devil says he can do, he can't do it. God's still in control no matter what he says. Lord, help you and I to keep our eyes on the Lord. You'll be encouraged if you do. But I'm going to give you a warning tonight. You get your eyes off of the Lord and you're going to be discouraged by what is happening around in life. You won't be satisfied in life when you get your eyes off of the Lord. Our whole purpose is to keep our eyes on the Lord. That is depicted so wonderfully in the story of Peter. Peter walked, saw the Lord. Remember the story? They were in the ship and here comes the Lord walking. He first thought he was a spirit of some kind walking. He said, "Fear not, it's I, Lord, bid me to walk on the water." And he says, "Peter, come." And Peter walks on the water. How encouraging, how uplifting. The sea, the trouble, the waves are under our feet. That's encouraging. Looking at Jesus. Jesus is walking and he's bidding me to walk and it's all under my feet. Just as long as I keep that kind of a heart and mind upon on the Lord. But you know the story. He didn't. He looked at the waves. And they were bigger than he was. And it overtook his faith. Who can walk on the water anyway? And who could do it in a sea that was so tumultuous as this? Nobody can do this. And so he looked away and he started to sink. And he needed the Lord to come and help him, but he did. But you know, there's still encouragement in that scripture. Because, well, the Lord ain't so much interested in us walking across this pond down here. What purpose would it be served? But he's very interested in us walking on our troubles. He's wanting us to go through life and be able to look above it and keep our eyes on him and not sink through any trouble that comes our way. Not any difficulties big enough to take our eyes off the Lord and keep to make us sink down under into despair and hopelessness and gloom that we cannot win this. When the Germans finally attacked and was conquering the world, they did it in what was called blitzkrieg, lightning warfare. They did it with a super attack from their air force, which was dominant. They had mechanized equipment, the tanks and all, and they did it in a hurry and they did it quickly and they overrun people till they were the fear of the world. Who could stand before them? Most didn't even want to try. If it wasn't for a few brave people that said, "We won't surrender. We won't give in to them." There was a lot of people wanted to say, "What's the point? We can't keep up with that." But there were some that said, "No, we're not going to surrender." Folks, we have to have that same kind of a mind. We're not going to surrender. I'm not giving in. I'm going to go on and I'm going to see the end. And if I'm like old Peter sometime and get my eyes off the Lord and I start sinking, I'm going to holler for mercy of the Lord and get me back up where I can walk on it again. And I'll try again and try again. Lord, help us. We got a battle to face. Another scripture in Luke. Let's see, I'm looking for Luke 5. Luke 5 and 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw.' And Simon answered, said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing.'" Toiled all night and taken nothing. You know, I think that in a spiritual sense, That could probably be said a lot of times. I have fished all night, and I haven't caught a thing. People can do it for the wrong reasons. They can do it out of season. They can do it in their own self-will or self-way. I don't know what all this could mean, but he didn't catch any fish. But he said, and you know what? I like to fish. And I'm at a place where I have to say, I don't fish long enough when I'm not catching anything to be disappointed about it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, with me, few casts, no bite, I'm going to be doing something else. But they wasn't in that situation. They were fishing for a living. They needed to catch some fish, and they didn't catch any fish. And it can be disappointing to fail. You invest into it. They invested night. They invested throw. They invested energy. You got to succeed. There must be some discouragement when a fisherman goes out and fishes and he don't catch anything. It's discouraging. What happens if you go 2 days in a row, 2 nights in a row, and you don't catch any fish? What happens if you go 3 days and you don't catch any fish? Now, I don't know how the fishing was, but I know this. If I went out and fished one night and the devil didn't come and tell me that there wasn't any left, I'd have been wondering about something. I know the devil's working in that. And you go out and you don't catch any fish and it's your living, the devil's going to tell you there's no more fish. They're all gone. No reason for you to go out there and do it. You're done. You go out there the second time and it confirms what the devil said to start with. No more fish. But the Jesus come and said, cast your nets out. We fished all night, Lord. We not caught any fish. But nevertheless, at your word. You know, it's more important to follow the word than it is any impressions that we can get in the night. Or any dark, gloomy thoughts that we get. The word of God is yea and amen. It's absolute at thy word, Lord. At thy word we'll step out. At thy word we'll keep going. At thy word we'll believe, Lord. We will believe. And he said, at thy word. So he cast these nets. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their and their net break. At thy word, Lord. You know, I find this so synonymous with life in many ways. I fished all night, Lord. And I didn't catch no fish. And to be honest with you, I'm ready to quit. Well, how about instead of quitting, you do what I tell you? How about you throw where I tell you to throw? How about you get a lesson about something in fishing? It's more than just fish. How about you get the lesson that I know where the fish is at? How about you get the lesson is that I know when to throw it? How about you get the lesson that I know where to throw it? How about you get the lesson that I can lead your life and catch more fish than you can? How about you get your lesson that you can have faith in God and go through all this and not have to be in a panic or believe the devil about it? Lord, help us. We can get so discouraged when right there the Lord is just simply saying, have faith in God. Believe in me, and I'll bring you through all of this. One last scripture I won't go to it. You can. I think it's the first Samuel 17. It's the story of David and Goliath. David was a young lad sent up to see his brothers. Jesse sends him up there and say, go greet your brothers and greet the captain. I'm going to take them some corn and some cheese and some bread. See, and go up and see how they fare. So he goes up there. Typical scene. This is, folks, this is all the way through the scriptures about discouragement. Here's another lesson. Now, when he gets up there, he goes up there and here's the armies of Israel. And over here's the Philistines. And there's a valley here. And out walks this 9-foot-9-inch giant named Goliath. that makes all the armies of Israel cow down. They were scared. They were discouraged. They were disheartened. They were hopeless. And David comes up there and sees this situation. But he didn't see it like the other one seen it. That's in there for us, folks. That's a lesson to us. How do you see it? They saw it as hopeless, no way to win. They compared themselves with the giant that they faced. Didn't they? Wasn't it obvious in their language? Even Saul looks and says, who can go against you? They was all saying, well, who can fight a guy like that? I suppose any of us could. I suppose any of us could. Any of us could fight him. They wasn't saying that. Nobody can fight him and win. He's a man of war. And he's been a man of war ever since he was in his youth. He's experienced. He's huge. There's no way to beat him. He's bigger than we are. Nobody can beat him. But that's why old David didn't see that. David went up there and looked and said, well, somebody ought to fight him. Somebody ought to take him down. It's more than able. Well, we ought to be more than able and do it. I ain't a fighter. David wasn't no fighter. He wasn't looking at that. He believed in God. This was a battle of God. This was something that he saw, and he saw it playing out. Yeah, this is bigger than me. But guess what, folks? He's never bigger than God. The mountains is not bigger than God. The giants is not bigger than God. Your problem is not bigger than God. The sickness is not bigger than God. The bitterness is the envies, the covetousness. Those things are not bigger than God in any way in anyone's life. Not bigger than God. Lord, help us. He looked and said, I'll fight him. I know what they thought. They thought that he was being wicked or evil. What are you talking about, talking the way you're talking? Who is he but an uncircumcised Philistine? There's nothing there. Come on, somebody's got to do something. And he went. They allowed him to go. God sent him to do it. And he showed all the men. Yep, big men. The little boy. It's not by your strength. You'll never be strong enough, fast enough, or able enough. It's not by the horses, not by the chariot. It's by the will of God. It's by the Spirit of God. And you're with the little boy. Isn't that encouraging? This is real, folks. This is real. God gave that to us for a real lesson about how we can face these things. He said, and this is necessary. This isn't him saying in a self-confident way, I can throw straight. Oh, he says, Saul, you ain't never seen me throw a rock. I mean, I can absolutely flip one of these things. I'm good. No. The battle's not mine. This is a battle of the Lord's. And we're going to go down there and for the nation, God's people, God's army. We're going to go down there and fight God's battle and see how God does it. And God performed it. And you know what happens? And Lord help us, because every one of us in here that has a desire to serve the Lord can light a fire. You can. You have the ability to light a fire. David was one little boy that lit the fires of the armies of Israel. You know, after he took the giant down, somehow they got courage. Somehow they got strength enough to pursue. And they chased them to the going down of the sun then. We're going to chase them off. And the Philistine, the enemy, the one who's the enemy, that represents the enemies of God, fled. Because their great champion had been taken down. And not only had he been taken down, it was humiliated because he wasn't taken down in power. He was taken down in weakness, in smallness, in faith. It's one thing to fight a person. It's another thing to fight God. David, sometime after that, if you remember the story, sometime after that, David runs into a situation. He leaves the stuff, and he takes his army, and he goes, and then when he comes back, the enemy had come and taken the stuff with the women and the children, all the wives and everything. And so the men are upset and weeping and crying and saying, stone David. Oh, here we are again. Oh, David learned his lesson, I think. The scripture says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Lord, I don't even know what this is about, what you're going to prove, but I know you're in this somewhere. Help us. We need your help. We just lost. They took all of our stuff. And the Lord said, none will be lost. You pursue after them, I'll give them back to you. David went to the men and said, all right, quit your weeping and crying. I'm ad-libbing, I know, but quit your weeping and crying. And get your stuff, let's go. The Lord told me we're going to go get them back. And he went and got them all back. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. And folks, I think it's so key to our lives. When you get down and things are going your way, encourage yourself in the Lord. Begin to meditate and see how big God is. Put God in his proper place. Lift God up for what he is. Put him back in the place that he's supposed to be. These things that are happening aren't worth worrying about. We all know the finality of this, don't we? Honestly, we do. I'm not deceiving myself. I'm going to die. If the Lord don't come back and I get to see him come, I'm going to die. I know that. You know it too. We all know it. We just don't know when. But we know that's the inevitable end to every one of us' earthly life. And after that, there's a long home that we're going to go to. Lord, help us. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Take these problems. Don't allow the devil to take our peace away, because God's got something better. You pray for me.